and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and
I'm Christina, and today we are so excited to be talking with Miss Shayna Kilby with SK Creations. We're going to start this podcast off just a little bit different than the ones we have in the past, and we're going to do a little icebreaker. Miss Shayna, if you can tell us, if you had to pick what kind of animal you would be, tell us what it is and why you picked that animal.
I think that I would pick to be a dolphin because okay. I love the water and swimming, and I always wanted to work with dolphins as I was growing up.
Okay, so you're an animal lover. Me too. I love that. Okay, so let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about your business. I know you kind of have two parts. One is your main business, which is embroidering for the public. Tell us how you got into that, and then later on we'll talk about what's coming in the future.
Okay. So I actually got into embroidery on accident. I was a nurse and I bought a small single needle Brother embroidery machine to make gifts. I had one child at home and I got it. I found the sweatshirt from Kohl's, which is kind of funny looking back, but it was super soft. They were like $8. And my friend was like, hey, you should put those on Etsy. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And so I actually did that. And it kind of took off from there. I had dabbled in photography a little bit. So I think that helped me to be able to get clear pictures. And so we actually took off kind of quickly. That was probably in September when I made my first sale. And by October, I told my husband, like, I'm going to have to get a multi-needle machine or take this down. I actually got a multi-needle machine that weekend, and we've just grown from there. We initially did all the things, adult, children, bags, backpacks, you name it. And I actually was at the Everything Embroidery Market many, many years ago and listened to someone talk about finding your niche. And I just thought, man, if I could just do baby stuff, that would be my dream. But I don't know if I could ever get there. But here we are, and that's about all we do now.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit too. So how I came to meet Miss Shayna was she was a customer of Love That Cotton. She has been for several years now. And I remember back, now I have a lot of people that help me. Thankfully, I could not do it all by myself. But at the beginning, every single person that came to be a wholesale customer, I would search their business and I would follow them and make sure that they were actually a business. And we still do that today. I just don't do that personally for every single person. And I remember when I came across Shayna's and I was like, oh my gosh, the photography, like you said, it was just so beautiful. And yeah, ever since then, I've been following you on Instagram and Facebook and watching as that has grown. What year was it when you started? Do you remember?
2013.
Okay. So you were a couple years before Love That Cotton started. And then when you decided you were going to do primarily baby, do you remember?
I know it would have been, I think it would have been around 2016. The way that we actually ended up doing that is it was getting toward Christmas time. And I thought, man, I kind of want to have a break. I don't want to have to do all this around Christmas. So I'm going to leave everything off except for my baby items that I really love to do.
And at that time, Etsy.
Yes.
Okay.
And at that time we didn't do like any of our Pima stuff like we do now. We just, you know, did gowns really. Yeah. But we actually stayed busy through that. And so I never actually put all of the adult and bags and purses back. I never started offering it again.
So when you niched down, right? So you took the class, you took the stuff off your Etsy site, and then you niched down. How long after that were you like, okay, now let's hit it full force and go just for baby? Because I know that I'm sure you had some sort of struggle in your head, like, should I, what do I do? How do I keep growing?
So actually, at that point, I had already hired someone, but she was only doing the baby stuff. And I was doing all the other adult items that we offered, or purses, bags. And I had kind of just told her what my plan was. And then after that, we stayed busy. And I think that we offered a few adult items. So we offered like full zip jackets with nurse logos because I was the nurse. We offered some wristlets, but we kind of slowly phased the adult stuff out as we grew with baby items.
Right. And so you had the one employee and it was you. And I'm sure that was a little bit of a change, but I know also just talking with you and watching your stuff grow, your business grow, from there, how did your Pima stuff weave its way in? How did that become something that is, I mean, everyone knows you for your beautiful Pima items.
So I basically reached out to a company who offered Pima and said, hey, I only sell on Etsy, but here's my stats, here's my records. Is there any way that you could give me an account, even though I only sell on Etsy? Because we still, to this day, do not have a website. We've had one built 3 times and it's never worked out. So they kind of gave me a chance and said, sure, we will. And so our Pima stuff really took off, and that company actually could not keep up with our demand. And so we started looking for a manufacturer. And at that time, I knew nothing about finding a manufacturer. And I found a company who basically private labeled for me. So that was a really big blessing. And then
explain really fast what private labeling is for people that may not know.
So this company they would take the designs that I wanted and have them made for me with my label and my information. They dealt directly with the manufacturer. So I had no contact with the manufacturer. I went through the company who private labeled, and then they shipped the goods directly to me. So I was still paying pretty much wholesale pricing at that point. And then from there, I did a ton of research and paid for a ton of samples, trying to find our own Pima manufacturer. And we actually found ours, but they reached out to us. And so it's worked out. Now we have 2 Pima manufacturers.
Walk us through what you do. So you get, say you get a new item, or I don't know, do you design the product, or tell us about that portion?
We do. So we had a just general idea of, you know, footie, a romper. So we took a basic romper and added ruffles. We took footies that were just your standard footies and changed up the colors or changed up the trim. We tried, traditionally, what I saw with Pima was very much light pink, light blue, white. And you saw those in stripes and dots. And we definitely offer those, but we've tried to offer other colors. So now we offer navy, and we just got in black this week, and a hot pink, and just more than light pink and light blue and white. So we'll design it. They'll send us a sample. We'll approve it. So then when we get our actual shipment, I work with a few local photographers and I'll say, hey, I need this photographed. I'll post to find a model typically, and we'll get a photo shoot done and get photos back and then get it listed. And sticking with photographers has been really great, just finding a few that we can work with, because they all know when I come in exactly what I'm looking for. They know I want a white background, don't want anything else, nothing fancy. And so I try to keep all of my photos looking similar.
So I think that's something, that's a good tip that maybe someone that would either be starting out or trying to kind of hone in on their brand, whatever it is that you have in your mind, it needs to be consistent throughout everything that you post. And that's everything on your website, everything on any kind of social media, anything on Etsy. If you do have a storefront, that vibe, I guess, should carry through and be consistent throughout. And that's something you do a really good job. I will even take that a step further for you. I feel like even without a logo or seeing your name on the picture, I can almost say, oh, that's Shayna's, because your photographers have done such a good job. I mean, it's your brand and it's a known brand now, right?
Yes.
And so Yeah, you
no,
should be.
It is. I was following you way before I ever stepped into this business. I didn't even mean to be completely honest when we were discussing people to come on the podcast and all that. I had sent Christina some of your pictures just because of you're someone that I've always followed and I've bought things from you as well. I'd like sent her some of the pictures that you had done recently. And she was like,
she sent us something. It was one of a Love That Cotton item that you had done and had pictures of. And she was like, look at this. And I was like, yeah, Shayna. And then when we were talking about someone to bring on the podcast and I was like, Shayna, I don't think she made the connection quite yet. And I was like, SK Creations. And she was like, what?
So, little fangirl moment. I was like, oh, I've been following her for years.
It's actually still really surreal to me. Like, someone kind of tuned us in the other day that I knew we were top 1% on Etsy, but we were actually top 0.1% on Etsy. And I was like, still blown away by that. Or like today I walked in at my kid's daycare and one of the kids had SK on and I was like, oh my gosh, that kid has SK on. Still surreal to me.
So with Love That Cotton, sometimes I love going to see like craft shows or whatever. And if I see someone selling something that's Love That Cotton, I'm like, oh, I can't help but get excited. So I understand that. And I am not on Etsy anymore. I used to be, but I've pulled all my stuff from there just because I had to niche down a little bit and stay in Love That Cotton's lane a little bit. But you're all over Etsy. You have mastered that for sure. While we're on that topic of Etsy, do you have any maybe tips besides the wonderful photography that you think like may have helped you get there?
Yes. In the beginning, I think it was a lot of customer service. So especially those super early days, I would message people and be like, hey, I saw your package arrived. I just want to make, you know, when I had time to do that. So I offered really good customer service. I cannot tell you how many times I replaced items that I feel like I should not, you know, we didn't make an error, but we were able to do that. And I think that helped us to get reviews, which helped us to then get more sales. And so now I think being able to offer a quick turnaround time because we have a big team, I think that is a big thing, having stuff on hand so I don't have to order it. For example, we keep Love That Cotton's red bishop dresses in stock. And when our inventory gets low, I know to go ahead and order. And so we can keep those on a 1 to 3 day turnaround. And I think that makes a big, big difference, just having a quick turnaround time.
Right. And then even more than that too, right? Like a quick answer.
Yes.
So a lot of times people, they want it to ship quick, but they want you to answer them even quicker, right? Yes. They almost want you to just ask a question and then they answer. So in order to do that, how many people are on your team right now?
So currently it's me and 7 others.
Okay. And then what do you have them doing? What is your breakdown?
They do a little bit of everything. I never want to be in a position where I'm not involved. So I like to still play all of the roles except for stitching. I don't get to do that very often anymore. But I have one girl who is my lead. She's the employee that I hired in the very beginning, and she's stuck with me the whole time. And she's been full-time with me for a few years now. So she can answer messages. She can make designs. She can pull orders. So she can do it all. I have another girl that really is a packaging specialist. She has great attention to detail. So she packages a lot of our orders. And then our other team members kind of are mostly stitching or pressing. Something that we do that not everyone else does is we apply cloud cover or a soft covering over our embroidery. So every item we have gets marked and then stitched and then pressed with cloud cover and then buttoned and folded and ready for packaging. So it's more of a process, I think, than people realize. So.
And you can tell people what the cloud cover is just in case there's someone here that doesn't know.
It is just a soft backing that we like to put over our embroidery. We use cutaway 99% of the time. So it just protects baby skin. Right. It's the same stuff you would see like on the inside of a Gap or Carter's t-shirt that has an applique on it.
Right. Because when you stitch something, the backside of the stitching can be a little bit itchy. And especially since most of the stuff you sell is for those little bitty, like newborn babies, having that extra step underneath that just kind of protects their little skin.
Yes. And customers really notice that. Mm-hmm. So I'm very blessed to have a great team. They don't do any social media for me. I kind of like to still be my own voice of social media, but other than that, they can do it all if they have to.
So that for me was one of my biggest struggles, was just giving up any, I hate to say control, but like you grew this business from the ground up, and you know the voice, you know the aesthetic, you know everything about how it should be in your head, and then giving that up to someone else is always difficult. Yes. How did you know that it was time to add someone, and was it something that you were thankful that you did, or wish you would have done sooner, or maybe you thought you should have waited, or how did that come about?
I think it was really the perfect timing for us. I'm very much like you. I don't like to give it up at all, but I just really started slow. So, and this is kind of still how we do stuff. I teach my girls one thing at a time. So I'm not throwing them in there expecting them to know how to stitch every single item we have. So when I hired my first girl, I taught her how to stitch baby gowns because that's what we did a lot of. They're easy. And so she, you know, grew from there and learned how to stitch everything. And then our next girl we hired, we done, you know, the same process, and that process has always worked for us. We actually have a few team members who don't know how to stitch at all. They press and package for us. But I think every time I felt the need to hire, it's been the right timing. And we've hired, and it always allows me to grow more than I thought it would. And there are some times that I'm even like, am I going to have enough work? But we always have had enough work. It seems like the more you ship it out, the faster you ship it out, the more orders you get. So it is very hard. But I also think if you hire the right people, they can do it. And my girls do stuff better than me a lot of times, especially communicating with customers.
Yes. And it's hard to let that go. But that's something I've found too. We've had a few people that, you know, didn't work out. But when you get those right people in, it's like such a breath of fresh air. And you're like, where have you been? And Hope's like that for me. So she's like my right hand woman now.
Trying to be working on it. I guess your favorite part, you kind of niched into just the baby stuff. I mean, what's your favorite part of your business? Like, what do you enjoy the most? If you were just going to go in any day and just say, I'm just going to do this today, and it be your favorite thing?
Probably packaging.
Okay.
Because I could look at the same item. We have a romper that's probably sold, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 times. I can look at it every day. Every day I love it. It never changes. It's still one of my favorites. And so packaging would probably be my favorite because I just get to see everything. It's like you're packing up the finished product. You're sending them your customers a little note to say thank you. So I definitely think it's my favorite.
Yes.
That it's definitely different than what I thought it would be. But thinking about that, like sending your product off and seeing where it goes, like it's going to have a journey now. And who knows, maybe it goes to one person as a gift and then it goes to their, you know, second born, and then it goes off to have another life with someone else. Like, it's the magic of baby clothes.
What did you think I was going to pick?
Maybe stitching, since you started with that.
So yeah. I'm right there with you.
Packaging.
I'm right there with you. That's all. Stitching is not my favorite.
I guess I say that because I don't stitch. So.
Well, I'll tell you, if I do stitch, it's like I'm running a race with myself. And I don't know why I do that, but I'm like trying to stitch every single order I can as fast as possibly can. And you know, when you do that, you make mistakes. So it's just not good. My girls are way better stitchers than I probably ever was.
How many machines do you have going?
Nine.
Nine. Okay. And are they all the same kind?
They are. We've always had Brother Six Needles. We tried to branch out. That did not go well. We're spoiled. And my brothers have been so good to me. Like, I still have the very first one I bought. I can't tell you how many stitches it has on it, but it's a lot. And we run them from 5 a.m. till 8 p.m. every day.
Oh, my goodness. So do you do shifts?
Yes. So my girl that's been with me the longest, she comes in at like 5 and leaves at 2 to get her daughter. And then this Christmas season, we hired somebody to just do pajamas, and they work 4 to 8 every day. And then there's, of course, people in there in between.
And so I guess you have a shop, or is this, where's your setup?
It's currently in my basement. So we built a house 5 years ago, and it started out in one little section of the basement, and now it's the whole basement. But we are currently building a shop. I'm still on our property. It'll be 2,800 square foot, and we've already filled it up.
Yes.
But hopefully it'll be done soon. But I have one girl that's like an amazing organizer, and she's like, this is not going to be big enough.
Hey, so we did that. We started in our little game room, and then it went from like our game room to the garage, or game room and garage. And then it was game room, garage, and a little shed. And then it was like, we bought a new house, and it had like a big area that was like a 4-car converted space that we made into a shop, and then the warehouse, and then we added, and then we added onto that again. And so we're about to finish our next add-on, and we're already thinking the same thing. Like, we should have done more.
How many square foot is yours now?
So it'll be right at 12,000 square feet. 12. Yes. Right. Is that right?
I thought you said 14.
So not including the offices.
Okay.
Offices add some more, but the like actual space, like warehouse space.
Warehouse space. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But you know, it's not enough. Not enough, which is a good thing.
Good problem to have.
Yes. So what do you have in the pipeline? What's coming up for Miss Shayna Kilby and SK Creations?
Well, we'll continue doing all the things that we know and love, but we will soon be adding a blanks line. We'll start off small to begin with. I'm sure you know how this is. I ordered long sleeve shirts and long sleeve rompers, hoping they would be here in October, and they're still not here. But I knew, you really mainly from just watching you, kind of that you just can't predict it. It's going to be what it's going to be.
You have to roll with the punches and try and do better the next time. And even though you think you did better the next time, something else is going to come your way. But just communicating and trying to keep a smile, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
And knowing whatever country that you might be manufacturing in, knowing their holidays and how long they take for them.
Yes.
Love. I mean, not only have I heard that from Christina, but I have another friend that also does some other things. And she's like, just know the country's holidays and how long they take, because these are holidays I've never heard of or I know of, but I didn't realize like maybe they take a whole month.
Or three.
Like, you just need to know these things.
And as you ramp up production, so say, obviously it's going to be different than this, but say, so you normally order 10 and this time you order 20. Now your production time's double too. And it's something that you didn't think about or whatnot, but they can't keep up. Like you said, your first manufacturer couldn't keep up. And then what? But
I just hope that if I run into trouble, which I know I will, that I can always handle it as gracefully as you.
Oh, thank you. So that's probably the best compliment anyone has ever said to me. So thank you.
Well, it's very true. Like even when I was supposed to teach at the market and we came down with COVID, I knew it was going to suck for you. and be hard on you. But I told my husband before I even called, I was like, she's a family first communicator. She just, it's going to be very hard on her, but she's not going to be mad at me. And I feel like even just what little I know of you, I know so much about you without really knowing you.
Thank you. No, I mean, that was not your fault. Yes, it was a little bit of a scramble to, you know, figure it out. But, and I was telling Hope today, I felt like it was, once I started looking for people, it was like almost a God thing. Cassidy, who taught your photography class, she did not know she was going to teach a photography class. And I asked her, she was already on the road, and she was like, actually, I brought a big tub of photography props and my camera and all the things just here. I wasn't sure why I was bringing it, but I have it. So yes, I can teach the class. And I do believe sometimes things work out, and it ended up just fine. But we missed you. We did miss you. And we hope that you'll join us at the next one coming up.
I would love to. Well, Chattanooga is actually where I was when I sat in on the class about finding your niche. So it's very like, it would almost be a full circle moment.
Yes. Awesome. And then, so that was one of the classes that you were going to teach, was a finding your niche class. So maybe we'll get you on the docket for that.
I believe the lady who taught it was the Mint Julep. She owns Mint Julep Monograms.
Yes. So I think we are in talks with her too. So I don't know what classes she'll be teaching yet, but hopefully she'll be there as well. So we're still, if you're listening to this, we're still kind of finalizing classes and vendors, and stay tuned. All that stuff will be released here soon, but we're excited, and it's going to be fun. But that, seriously, that was the biggest compliment anyone's ever given me. Sometimes, you know, when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't feel like you're handling things well, you know, emotions or whatnot. And I do try my best to say family first, things happen, and it's going to work out. As long as you are kind to others, it works out. That makes sense. So
yeah, it helps that you're just very open. Like, you're not fluffing people up. You know, even the times you've went live and you've gotten emotional, I just think it helps people to know how passionate you are about your business, and how it's hurting you more than it is anyone to have to deal with problems.
Yes. And I think that was something that I wanted to do from the get-go when we started. And actually, to be honest, a lot of people that I talked to were like, don't do that. You have to separate business from personal, and you have to treat it like a business. You can't get on there and say, I don't know how you're feeling, or it's no one's business what's happening. But that's not my personality. And to me, I try and put myself in my customer's shoes, right? And I was the customer before I was the supplier. And what would I want to know if I were you? So if my order was out in La La Land, I would want to know that. And I would want to know why. And I would want to know the hard part is when I give the information, a lot of times I don't even really have a concrete information to give you.
Right.
And a lot of times too, if you say it will be here in 2 weeks, people expect it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's something I've learned along the way, is say, I'm hoping it'll be here in 2 weeks. That is what I'm hearing, but that does not mean that that's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'll tell you, and I'll come on here again, and we'll have this conversation again, and I'll give you an update of what I'm hearing. But the not communicating just didn't feel right for me. So,
well, it's very hard, because it's almost like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't know the answer. And I just know this, you know, we don't sell anything that we don't have typically. So it's, for me, a lot easier. My customers are just saying, when's your stuff coming? And I'm saying, I think it'll be here in 2 weeks. But you're stuck because you want to give them an answer. Mm-hmm. And you give them what you believe at that time. And then it changes. You can't make customs do anything differently.
Yeah.
You can't make them speed up. You can't make the shipping company do anything. So,
and then there's a freeze and then it's stuck on the truck somewhere, or, you know, they've split up shipments. I feel like at this point, anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. But at the same time, again, it's always kind of worked out. The stress level has sometimes been through the roof, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we ordered more than we would have had we known it was going to get here so late in the season. But, you know, it's worked out. So yeah. I know it will for you too. Do you want to share what you have coming, or are you at that point where you want to, or is it going to be a surprise?
No, I can share. It's very small. So we're starting out with long sleeve shirts and rompers. They were supposed to be here in October, but they are not here yet. So we're already learning about delays, but we'll have long sleeve pink, white, mint, and red for girls, and white, navy, red, and mint for boys. And we'll have rompers and long sleeves for now.
Awesome. That's so exciting. So are you going to, I guess, are you going to do the Etsy wholesale, or are you going
to
have?
No, we'll set up our own. So to be honest, I really just like to have them for myself, but you know, you can't buy.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll really see how it goes. I hope to not get in the pre-order situation. I totally understand why you guys have to do it. I'm hoping to not.
Hey, if you can stay away from it, it will alleviate some stress, because that for me is the biggest thing. I'm like, I know you're waiting on it for your customer. And
I feel like even from a business standpoint, something that makes my life totally easier is to not sell stuff that I don't have. I know you can't always do that, but if you have a product that sells good, buy multiples of it, put it on a quick turnaround, and then keep it in stock. And then you don't have to be messaging your customer saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't get this.
Yeah. Hey, when I had my embroidery business, I had certain items. I mean, like a white t-shirt. I kept that. I kept multiples of my white t-shirt, especially in the sizes, because I did mostly kids' clothes.
Yeah.
And it was birthday outfits for the most part. And it was mostly first and second birthday outfits. So I kept a whole bunch of those 12-month, 18-month, 2T, 3T shirts, and both boy and girl long sleeve shirts, short sleeve. I had the bodysuits, and those were my sizes. And if I didn't have anything else, I had all of those in white. So that's a good tip.
It helps. And not that we still have a few items, like your pullovers. There's no possible way for us to carry every size and every color. We'd have to have a whole warehouse just for those. But the majority of our stuff we have on hand, and I just feel like it makes it so much easier for anybody running a business.
Well, and your turnaround times are a lot better just having it in stock.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of our customers, and she was like, so she's been with us probably as long as you have, and her business has grown a lot. And she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know if I have PTSD. I never used to stock things. And now I feel like I'm just hoarding everything that I can. Like, I know I'm going to sell it. Give me 20. I need 20. But I think that also creates a sense of urgency, right? You get creative. If it's sitting there, you get creative on a way to get rid of it if it's not something that's moving quickly.
Yes. So. And that's a big thing for us is for Christmas shirts, we will stock up on red because we know we can use them for Valentine's. And so as soon as Christmas is over, we're advertising the Valentine's so we can get those out of here. And even the bishop dresses that you guys carry, a little monogram with hearts beside it. People love those for Valentine's Day. And the green ones we do for St. Patrick's Day. So, and people really love them.
Yeah. So when I order, when I'm thinking about new colors, I try really hard, and aside from Christmas, because Christmas is so big. So the red, green, and white is pretty much just Christmas. And then the Mardi Gras, like pretty much just Mardi Gras, but people go crazy over that. Everything else, I have to have in my head at least two things to sell it for. So it's maybe a warm Christmas. Some like Texas people will buy like the Long Johns in red for Christmas. Then you have the Valentine's Day, then you have 4th of July. And, you know, so I'm thinking about that. And we have redone some holiday pictures, and it's the exact same thing, but you put it with different props or whatnot. And people are like, oh, that looks completely different. And it's the same thing.
Yes. So. And I find that with photography too. Sometimes it's literally just the cute picture. We have one gown that sells like crazy. You can't even see the monogram on it in our main listing picture. It's just that it's a cute picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to use photos that maybe you wouldn't initially think to use.
Yes. And some companies will let you use theirs if you don't feel like you have the time to get a good one. I feel like it's more detrimental to your business growing and moving forward if you put a bad picture out there, even if in your mind it's temporary, than waiting a week or two or whatever it is to get that good picture. Now, it may not be perfect because I don't know that it's ever perfect, but something that you're proud of and then it sells.
Yes. And flat lays are easy to get, easy to do a good job at. So at the bare minimum, if you can't get it modeled, get a good flat lay.
Yes. Yes. I remember, so I did tutus a lot too for my, at the beginning, I remember trying to do a flat lay of a bodysuit and the tutu. And I'm like sitting there and the tutu's like flopping up and like flopping over onto the bodysuit. And I was like, I didn't have like a, what's it called? I didn't have a mannequin to take a cute picture. So I got some, I mean, it's probably terrible. Like I'd probably look back at it now and be like, that was such a terrible picture. It worked though. So I put the tulle that I made the tutu from inside the shirt and I like fluffed it up. And so it made a body form of sorts. And then I was able to get the 3D image and it made it so much cuter. And when I started doing that, that's when my Etsy shop, I actually started making some consistent sales. But before that, you know, I'd get a couple a day, but that I remember my first few that I did that, then I was getting like several a day for that exact same item. And it's just the picture.
Photography makes all the difference.
Yes,
it does.
So I have a question. I feel like people may ask this. Have you ever done their website? Because I know they have, or at least they used to have that website option. And two, do you advertise through them?
I have never done their, I think it's called like platform. At any rate, I did not ever do it. And yes, I do use their advertising. Okay. But it's not my specialty, so I'm probably not doing a good job at it.
I think you are if you're in the top of the sellers. I'm just going to throw that one out there.
I don't change it. I don't mess with it. I don't even know what listings it advertises. I'm just
very humble.
Whatever they have picked for me is what I do.
So do you do like a set dollar amount or percentage each month or...
It is set on a set dollar amount per day.
Okay.
And I do feel like seriously, it's really not one of those things that I look at. The things that I don't love, I have a really hard time doing, and that's one of them. But I feel like it's probably $10 or $20 a day.
Yeah. So nothing too crazy and unattainable, I feel like. So I never did the Etsy ones when I had my Etsy shop, but... When we very first opened LTC, I did some Facebook ads. And to be honest, I didn't feel like it worked for me then. I think it may now because we have a bigger audience that it can pull from and do the lookalike audiences and whatnot. And we do a little bit now occasionally if it's something new or we're needing to push. But for the most part, it's word of mouth that has grown our business and the trade shows that we go to where people can actually touch and feel versus, you know, just looking at a picture or whatnot. But word of mouth is huge. And while the industry is small-ish, people talk.
I think it helps that y'all have some very unique items.
We do try. And that's another thing that people need to I think might be good to talk about is you have to kind of develop a thick skin, because when you have something cute, people will copy you. And we can go back several years. Shayna and I have had a couple conversations where people are stealing pictures or trying to copy you exactly. And
we're already in that.
And it happens. And it happens. And my philosophy is try to be flattered versus mad about it. Sometimes it's very difficult to not be mad about it. And sometimes I am mad about it. Then I sleep on it and then I'm okay.
Well, I'll tell you, we do have a shop that's copied a lot of our items. So I ordered some of them and the quality is just not there. So it's interesting to me. And I mean, I've been in this business 8 years. So my kids, just like probably the same for you, my kids' photos have been stolen. People that live in the same city that I do, who know who I am, they're using my kids' photos or my photos. And I'm having to be like, hey, can you please not do that? So I think that I have pretty thick skin about it now. I'm just like, hey, I always kill them with kindness. There's no need of being rude. Yeah. But my team, they struggle with it more than me now. They really get frustrated.
Well, it's hard. You know, you take the time, the money, the energy, the emotional, you know, whatever to get and put something out that you're proud of. And then someone just takes it and you're like, ugh. And for us, we actually let our wholesalers use our pictures because I want them to have something that's a good photo. I really believe that that's important. And we spend a lot of money to get those photos, but you have to be a wholesale customer. I always ask that you watermark it so that people know that you're creating your own brand. But I've had, you know, Alibaba, like people, Alibaba, while you can find some good things there, I will tell you my experience, just my personal experience. Maybe other people have other experiences there. I have had many times where they're like, steal, it's me, it's a picture of me in our pullover, and they're like, it's my picture. And I'm like, oh really, here's a picture of me, that's my picture, you did not, you know. and they're like, oh sorry, I'll take it down. And I'm like, you just said it was yours, you know. So
I'm not sure that a whole lot good comes out of Alibaba. I've not had any good experiences there either.
Yes. And you know, just like with anything, there's some good, there's some bad, and you may have a good experience. But so I can tell you a bad experience we had. We thought that we had found, it was actually a manufacturer that was recommended to us, but they were on Alibaba, and we used them for our backpacks that we, like, I designed them, my mom drew them up, and we tweaked them and got the samples and got more samples and tweaked them again and finally put them into production. Well, when they went into production, the pictures looked like the samples, but the quality when we got them was just not, I mean, it was, they weren't bad, right? Like they weren't bad, but it's not something that I was proud of to put out there. And so we sold through them, and as much as I want to do the backpacks again, I just can't get over. I can't get over. I'm like, no, that was so bad. And honestly, we lost a lot of money because we went through and ended up just damaging out and donating 90% of that stock that we purchased because it wasn't something we were proud of. You know, comes with it, I guess. You live and learn.
It's hard. I know we have tried on backpacks and it's been... And we did have our own nap mats manufactured, and I got them in a very small quantity, and we sold through them, and it worked out great. And then we messaged the manufacturer back to order more, and they were like, you have to order 5 times what you ordered before. And I'm like,
nope.
No, that's not what I want. A, it's December, and nobody's going back to school until August, but it is hard.
And to be able to say no is a good thing. That is another lesson that I've learned. You know, sometimes the person who is the loudest is not the person that's going to buy the most.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So you'll have people that'll constantly be saying, you need to get this, you need to get this, you need to get this. And so I hear it a lot, and then I get it, and then it sits. And I'm like, Well, that's my own fault. I should have, you know.
Yes.
So sometimes you have to stay in your niche a little bit and go with your gut. And I feel like most the times that I have gone outside of my gut for any reason is when I've been like, well, that was not a good choice.
That definitely makes sense.
Yes. I wish I could take back some of those choices.
You live in life, right?
Of course. But that's with everything in life. So with that being said, what are three things that you could not live without in your business, maybe, I mean, or personally, I guess, that helps you stay grounded and like happy in your
Well, my team would definitely be number one. I could not survive without them. My husband would be number two. He's the one that's like figuring out how to get our shipments here and getting the tractor out and building all the things that I need to be built and watching the kids late at night when I'm working. And number three would obviously, I guess, be customers. I mean, we couldn't be where we are without our customers. We have a lot of loyal customers. So they traditionally make me happy. You know, we've got some rough ones too, just like everybody. Yes, but
everyone does. But yeah, I'm right there with you. It's one of my favorite things to see. And now when they send you a picture of their kid wearing whatever it was you made, you're like, oh, it just makes you smile.
Yes. And I've watched so many kids grow up. Like, I'm a kid person anyway. I always have been. And so I've got to see so many of these moms be pregnant just through social media. I don't even know them in real life. Yeah. And you know, now their kids are 4 and 5 years old. And I'm like, man, they've been wearing SK and I've been getting to see them. We have one customer whose little girl has worn SK since birth and she just had several brain surgeries. And so it's been so special to me to watch, like, when she came out of the hospital or when she's going back for appointments, so many times she's in SK stuff. And it's like, almost just like a tearjerker for me. Cause I'm like, I'm just like such a little teeny tiny part of those moments. She's doing better now and back at school and stuff, but it's been special.
It's been special, meaningful. I think that a lot of people, especially with monograms, when they go to buy it, when they're looking, they're most of the time they have a reason for that outfit in mind, right? Like, they're like, I'm going to wear this for pictures, or I'm going to wear this for a first birthday, or I'm going to wear this for a holiday or something. And so you know that if they're buying it, for the most part, it's because they love it and they're going to be proud to wear it. And then that kind of, in my mind, it comes through in the pictures and the reviews and then the repeat business because, yeah, you know, they were happy in that time. Yeah. So,
and I think it's so special to think these kids who are 4 and 5 years old now, when they look back at their holiday pictures, you know, they'll be in monogram pajamas from us and it's still just blows my mind.
But yes. It's so special. Have you ever looked at like just your reach? Like, I sold in that state and that state, and you like watch the orders come in and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, I don't know about you. Most of our stuff is Southern. Of course we sell to the Northern states as well. And, you know, but like, oh, we got one in Hawaii, and it's like, my team will be like, oh, like,
yeah, I checked many, many years ago and we had sold to all 50 states. And so I hadn't checked since then, but we shipped internationally the other day to Israel. And I think that was a first for us. So it's more on an international level for us now. And especially we had to change our shipping for international orders. Our shipping cost is $50,
whoa,
which is insane. But well, and we ship it express. So they traditionally have it within a week because we were having so many that just sat and sat and sat. So we're not just upcharging shipping and making money. It's costing us that much to send it. So now it's even crazier to me that people will pay that for shipping, but it's fun to see new countries pop up.
Yes.
So and I always wonder, like, what it's like in their country.
Yeah.
are they from the U.S. and they just live there? Or yeah. Monograms are a thing there?
Yes. I've thought the same thing. Or, like, I know we have some of our customers, our wholesale customers, that are from the States, but they're in other countries for, like, their military spouses or whatnot. And so they take our stuff with them to the different bases. And I've seen some, you know, every 2 years they're here and then they're here and then they're here. And that's been kind of fun. And then I wonder, like, are you selling to those people? Like,
right.
Take pictures.
Are you selling on the base or are you selling right. to others outside
yes.
of the base? Yeah.
Yes. No, that's,
I mean, I get excited just seeing Love That Cotton stuff just because I've been around since before it happened, but I'm always like, yay, it's this. And it's like, I'm only in Houston. It's not that big of a difference, but it's still something that's so excited. So I can only imagine in another country what that yes. would be like.
No. So Hope is one of my longest friends. I've known her for a long, like, middle school time. Now we get to work together. And I get excited too when I see people that I've disconnected with over the years, you know, just we're Facebook friends and that's yeah. it. But I was, you know, I knew you in middle school. I knew you in high school and I just were Facebook friends. And then their little baby will be like wearing something. And I'm like, oh, I didn't stitch it, but that's mine.
If you see people out in the wild, like you're at a restaurant, you see somebody with Love That Cotton on, do you say anything?
So I don't, but my kids get excited. They'll see someone, you know, we're at dinner and they'll see a little girl and they'll be like, hey, that's my mom's. That's Love That Cotton. And I feel like the people that they're talking to are like, what are you talking about? No, I bought it from SK Creations. I didn't buy it from Love That Cotton. But you know, it's fun to watch my kids be proud too. And yeah. I'm proud. I'm just, I don't know that I'm the person that's going to approach them, even yeah. though in my mind I might be doing a little dance.
I'm the same way. I feel so awkward to approach people. But especially locally, I have a hard time because I don't want people to think I'm being snobby.
Yes, that's me too.
So I'm like, people definitely know you because I don't put my face out there much. So they definitely would, your wholesale customers would know, you know, your face. But I think your wholesale customers would also feel comfortable coming to talk to you.
Well, so if it's a wholesale customer, that's a little bit different. But like just a customer of a customer.
No. I definitely said it to people.
That's
my before friend. I ever worked with you.
Oh man. Well, thank you. Thank you. What do you think, Hope? Do we have a ending question?
Okay. So do you think there was enough room on the door for Jack to be with Rose on after the Titanic? In the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Would you hate me if I said I don't like Titanic?
That's okay.
We can move past this. So I will.
I don't know the answer.
Well, ixnay, there was room, but
just, there was room.
I have looked at this a million different ways, and there was room. Okay. Next. Okay, what is your greatest failure, and what did you learn from it?
From a business perspective, it was definitely not hiring a CPA up front. And then even when I hired one, not getting my books in order. So I used to sit down at the end of the year and tally up all my expenses for the whole year and then take it to my CPA. And it took me days and days and days. And I say that is probably my biggest failure just because it took so much of my time. Mm-hmm. And time's really valuable to me. So what I learned from it was to pay for a CPA to do it for me. So I have more time.
Do what you do best and hire the rest. Yeah.
Yes. It's a good saying.
Yeah. No, I think that too, because we did something kind of similar. My husband's like a numbers guy for sure. He's really good at it. And I was like, you got this, right? Because I'm not good with the numbers. And then he has his own businesses too. And I was leaning on that and I should have taken more control.
When people ask me like my advice, I'm always like, hire a CPA up front and know what you're looking at. So I also, this is embarrassing, I probably shouldn't even say, like I said, I started a business on accident. So I did not have, I was a nurse. I'm not a numbers person. I'm not a tax person. And so the local like sales tax office calls me one day and they're like, ma'am, you need to pay your sales tax. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, you have to pay sales tax. And so I don't know how many months I was behind. It was some outrageous bill. I just didn't know. It wasn't that I was trying to avoid paying it. I literally just didn't know. So I always tell people, just get it all together and know what you're looking at up front.
Right. And look at it on a monthly basis so that at the end of the year, you're not one, scrambling, or like two, have a huge bill that you're trying to figure out, wait, I've already spent that money, or I, you know, yes, I just bought a whole bunch of inventory, but you're telling me I owe how much in taxes, whether it's payroll taxes or franchise taxes or sales
always a tax.
Yes.
Yes. And I've literally hired all of that out. I use TaxJar for sales tax. I use Bench for my bookkeeping. I use Gusto for payroll. And so it has made my life so much easier. And then I have a great local CPA who says, send in this much money every, whatever it is, 3 months, 4 months. And it is much better.
Yes.
Yes. It's not the thing that I enjoy. So I don't do it. And then it's behind.
I'm with you.
Yes.
I was doing that previously. That was part of a job that I did. I did all of that stuff. I was like, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the other parts of the job, not this part.
Yeah.
It's like, not- I do not want to have anything to do with taxes, payroll, like doing it all myself. I don't mind like if you're farming it out and
yeah,
checking the numbers, but like every single thing, I was like, ugh, this is terrible.
I feel like that's a common denominator for most creative people. Yes. We're creative. We want to do the fun stuff. We, you know, some of us are more like, I want to be with the customer. Some of us are more, I want to design or stitch or whatever. But as a general rule, from what I've seen, most people struggle with the numbers.
Yes.
In some way or another. So
I would agree. And you say look at it monthly. I might log in once every 3 or 4 months. And then even then I'm like, yeah, it looks okay.
So we have a good CPA now. I actually do our payroll through QuickBooks. And so I do log in and see the numbers at least every 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean that I'm personally reconciling them every that often. Our CPA does that. So anyway, so I think that wraps us up. I'm yeah, so thankful that you took a little bit of time this evening to chat with us. And for those of you that are interested in seeing Miss Shayna in person, please join us in Chattanooga in, I guess, the last weekend in April. We're going to be having Everything Embroidery Market. We have not opened registration yet, but that is coming soon. So stay tuned. That will be available at everythingembroiderymarket.com. And for more fun learning tips and tricks, join us at EEM Connect, and we will see you on the next one. So thank you so much.